Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Row Productions.
This show is brought to you by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
Welcome to the show. This is Unknown Paranormal Radio, and I'm your host, Kevin of Unknown Paranormal.
And I'm your co-host, Martin of Bravo Paranormal.
And Jeff will not be with us tonight, and I want to say that we're sending prayers out to him and his family. His mother yesterday passed out at Walmart, and they rushed her to the hospital and ran a bunch of tests. They all came back negative. Said it was stress, and they released her this evening. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I hope she's okay.
Yeah, me too. Well, they couldn't find anything, and they ran a bunch of tests on her heart, and they're sending her home tonight. That was the last text I got from Jeff. It's been one of those weeks, man. I also want to send out prayers to Dakota Lawrence. He lost his grandmother Friday. I saw him Saturday at the History of Haunts and Legends for his gallery reading. He came just to do that, and then he left. So he's having to deal with that loss. And Dee McCaskill, a member of Unknown, she lost her grandmother Friday as well. And earlier in the week, she lost her cousin. So,
oh man,
it's been one of those times where a lot of people that we know have lost relatives. So, sending prayers to all of them.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. That's a crappy week, man.
Yeah, and it every time it happens, it just makes you realize that, you know, take everything day by day and try to be happy, because you never know when it's your time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man, we had a great time in Jefferson. Saw a lot of our colleagues that you and I know very well, and great atmosphere. Made some new friends. I met three women that have a paranormal team in Carthage, Texas, which is about 30 minutes from Longview, that I didn't even know they were there. And, yeah, they hung out with my team, the investigations. I taught them a few things, and they taught me some things as well, because we're always learning back and forth. And so, yeah, that was a good time. It was long. We investigated, oh god, 5 locations, and
holy crap.
We only got 35 minutes each location, so I didn't spend too much time trying to investigate. I investigated, but it was more of a teaching tool. I was showing people what we would do if this was an investigation we were going to take part in, you know, how to debunk things, how to, you know, because they would get really excited when the KT would go off. The KT's going off. And I would say, well, you got to verify it several times before you can even conclude that you're even communicating with something.
Yeah.
And, And I showed them, you know, if it was going off, I would ask the spirit, if there's a spirit setting it off, can you step away from it? And it would stop. And then I would say, can you walk up to it again? And it would go off. So I did that several times to show them that I was actually talking to something intelligent. And then there was other times where it was just going off and it was solid. And like this one lady, she's like, look, it's going off. But it was a solid signal, right? Uh-huh. And so I showed her by walking around in the K2 that it was actually electrical wiring up in the wall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So,
nice, man. I'm glad you guys got to, what's it called, educate some people, you know?
Yeah, that's usually what, you know, it's not one of those things that we do to go investigate. It's one of those things to get out, show the community we're around, and show them what we know, you know? And
yeah.
That was what Jane and I had talked about at the conference was it just popped in my head while I was sitting there because I talked to several people about the Pittsburgh Hospital project that I'm working on trying to gain ownership of. And I told Jeremy, I said, we could take a lot of people, all of our friends that are in the field, and we can even set up classes every now and then to conduct at the hospital for brand new members of teams, you know, teams that have just started out, or people that are interested in starting a team or getting involved in joining a team, and just share our knowledge to them, right? And it helps the field when these new people get a lot of knowledge thrown to them where they're kind of on the same plane as the rest of us, right? So that we have more of a consistency of new people coming in. So
it'll be like almost like Hill House, man. It's going to be a real good learning tool for up and coming teams as well, you know?
Oh yeah, man, because you know, it's very big, it's very active. There's no broken windows. It's a solid building. People that get up, that go up on the second floor, you cannot hear them walk because it's a concrete building.
Nice.
The only way you can have any kind of contamination from the second floor down to the first if both teams are standing by the stairwell.
Yeah,
Other than that, you can't hear them for crap, you know. And so it would be a great facility to do tests. Like I told Jeremy, I said, dude, I get a hold of that building. Anytime you come up with some new technology and you want to test it, all you would have to do is call me and we'll go test it, dude. You know? So
hell yeah.
That's just one of those things. Just like if you wanted to take photographs, all you do is go, hey, I want to take some photographs. Well, let's go.
I know, dude. That's going to be so awesome. Oh. Yeah. Ever since Unity Fest, man, I sold that tricycle print a couple of times already. And,
wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know what's cool is that because of Unity Fest, I kind of got labeled as a haunted photographer, which is kind of cool because it was an avenue that I was wanting to go down. And I think I'm going to start a project where I travel the country and take, you know, do like a photo session in every haunted location like I did with Old South,
mm-hmm.
and then write a book about it, and then just, you know, offer almost like a picture book and, you know, explain to people why I took photos and, you know, the feelings I was getting while I was taking them. So it'll be pretty fun.
Oh, that's awesome. That's real awesome, man. And also I want to I forgot about this. Welcome Chris Taylor to the Unknown Radio Network. He had his first show premiere this past Friday. Paranormal Access Radio is the name of his show, and it airs 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern, and it's an hour show. And he had a great interview with Kathy Nance on Friday. So welcome him to the fam. So now we have 6 shows a week that air on this network.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I remember the days, Martin, when it was just you, myself, and Jeff.
Right? Oh, man, that was... You know, it's crazy how things just, you know, grow so rapidly, you know?
Oh, yeah, man.
And now we have six shows that, you know, because I know not everybody can catch a Sunday show, you know. And I know there's a lot of people interested in paranormal and listening to the radio shows on their off time, but, you know, if somebody can catch a show on Tuesday Live or Wednesday Live, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and a lot of our listeners out there are more of an archive listening audience. We get more archive listens on all the shows more than we do live listens. And, you know, each show's averaging anywhere from 200 to 800 archive listens a week. So
nice.
Still reaching out to a lot of people, and we want to thank you for continuing to listen to our show as well as others. We try to bring a different style guest every time. Like I said, this week we're very honored to have Brian Kano of The Haunted Collector. That's a show that airs on Sci-Fi. With John Zappas. So he'll be calling in here in the next 5 or 10 minutes or so. So we'll be talking to him, talk a little tech, and the thing I like about doing the shows is I don't try to focus too much on the shows that they're on. I'll ask a few questions, but for me, you just see them on television, you see them in these shows, but for me, I want to know who this person is, where they come from.
Oh, yeah,
why they got into the paranormal, and their theories and ideas of the paranormal that they're not able to express being on a show.
Right, right. Yeah, because I do feel that, like, a lot of people that contact them for radio shows want to talk to them because of their fame and because of, you know, what they do. But I'm with you, man. I want to know, you know, what do you like to do on your time off, or, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or their ideal haunting locations that they would like to go to.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to do tonight, and should be a good show. And next week, everybody put it on the calendar, next week will be Jeff Martin and myself's 2-year anniversary of being live on the air.
Whoop, whoop. That's awesome.
Can you believe 2 freaking years, Martin?
I know. That's amazing.
Yeah, and we have a go ahead.
I was going to say, and it doesn't seem like time goes that fast, man. Like, I thought I was still working on the first year.
No, man. 2 years that everything first got launched, and, you know, it wasn't too much longer after we got launched that you joined up with us, and because you were one of our first guests, you know, in the first month that we were on air, and then after that, you joined up with us and been with us ever since. We're going to have Deb Lance on the show, paranormal investigator. And I interviewed her on Terrify, and she's a great woman and got a lot of fascinating things to talk about, places she's been and investigated and some of the activity that she's seen.
Cool.
That'll be good. Brian Kano will also be joining me on Tuesday on Terrify Radio, so I get a double dose of him this week.
Nice.
Yeah, man, and I have to say, after next week, I have a very special guest coming on Terrify Radio. It's Lana Starr. She is the world champion of women of wrestling. She also played in the Lingerie Football League. So this woman, even though she's not in the paranormal, we'll talk to her a little bit about it, but every now and then on Terrify, we try to get something a little bit different that may not be involving paranormal, but interesting people in different fields. And, you know, Jody being a woman and always having to deal with, you know, being a woman and in this field, because, you know, to be honest, when it first started out, just like any other field, it was male dominated. And here in the last several years, there's more women getting involved in the paranormal. And so Lana being in wrestling and was in football, we're going to talk about that as well, of, you know, women's roles now than the way it used to be. And, you know, you kind of see a shift. You know, just like I met that group in Jefferson, it was all girls, you know?
Even 5 years ago when I got into paranormal, it was male-dominated, and women were not even taken seriously, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Now you see, you know, women teams popping up everywhere, and they're actually getting that recognition I think they deserve, you know? Because it's not really a man versus woman thing. It's, you know, it's an interesting, and, you know, what are you bringing to the table? And, if, you know, if your theories are – if you can prove your theories and stand behind your team, then I don't see why not, you know?
Oh, and I'll tell you this. I booked this woman especially for you, Martin, because I interviewed her on Terrify last year, and she's strictly technical. She's building her own equipment. She's highly educated in computer programming. This woman will blow your socks off with her theories and some of the equipment that she is building. And you don't see this much. Yeah. And so get ready to have your mind just blown away by some of the stuff that she's doing and ideas and some of the technology she's already developed.
Yeah, yeah. Just don't tell Jeremy Jones. I don't want him to develop another crush.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Let me see. I'm going to go ahead and read Brian's bio while we're waiting on him to call in.
Okay.
Let's see here. Here we go. Okay, Brian is the tech manager on the hit show, sci-fi show, Haunted Collector. He's best known for mixing old and new techniques of investigating. He often finds himself doing the physical tasks on the show, such as crawling under houses and up into attics. Ultimately, his goal is to quantify, measure, and get empirical evidence to support claims of paranormal activity reported while maintaining his skeptical edge. As a resident parapsychologist of the Scared Crew, he first recognized his desire to explore the unknown at a young age. Growing up on Staten Island, New York, Brian often took note of abandoned buildings recessed within the woods near his home during Sunday drives with his parents. They called to him, sparking his imagination and his curiosity. Alone or with friends, Brian began exploring the old and abandoned buildings despite countless rumors of what may have happened within their walls. Tall tales of satanic activity, missing children, or ghostly sightings were often told. But instead of deterring Brian from his newfound hobby, this element of fear and danger only served to add to the lure for him. Since then, Brian has been looking into the darkness and exploring the dangers that come with the decay of civilization's footprint, expanding his experiences in urban exploration to include paranormal investigation. There are a few places he will not go. Since 2002, he's been recording his adventures of one of the creators of Scared, a series of documentaries on paranormal investigation and urban exploration. He's a producer, graphic artist, editor, parapsychologist. In 2009, he added internet radio host to his list of roles as a host of Scared on the airwaves, a weekly internet show which served as an official companion to the documentary series. The show is on an indefinite hiatus, but he still appears as a guest on many internet radio shows, including a recent host spot on Unknown Origins Radio. So that's a little bit of background on him. And see, I didn't know until I read his bio that he's got parapsychology under his belt.
Yeah. Man, that's quite a bio.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that I really always respect people that do urban exploring because, from a photographer standpoint, abandoned buildings are where it's at, you know? And for that to further his knowledge as far as, you know, hauntings and stuff like that, that's a good background to start in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So he'll be calling in here shortly, and then we'll talk with him. But yeah, man, you know, speaking of shows, I was a little disappointed in the season finale of Stranded last week because they did Yorktown and they changed up a bunch of stuff. And so I was kind of, and I know I got to kick myself in the ass and keep reminding myself it's entertainment, it's entertainment. But at the same time, I hate when they change things in order for television.
Yeah. That, I heard they didn't even go upstairs all that much during that show.
They didn't go upstairs one time, dude. One time they did not go upstairs.
Isn't that where, like, a lot of the activity is centered around?
Yeah, that's where the nuns' quarters is. And
crazy.
You know, it makes me wonder why, right? Because they kept hearing knocks and bangs all night. But if you're literally stranded at a place, you know, even us, we're paranormal investigators, but we go everywhere. We explore the entire facility. You know, there's there's not a door we're not going to try to open. You know,
I'll go.
And I know Old South. We explored that entire place. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't think there was anywhere I did not go alone in Old South. And don't get me wrong, like. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to sound like a fearless person, but, I mean, Old South was one of the few places that really, really just gave me the heebie-jeebies, but I mean, I did power through it, and we did, you know, even when me and you went down to the end where that operating room was, and, you know, we're getting responses on the Periscope, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and, so, you know, I didn't like that aspect because it kind of red flagged things. You know, maybe I'm just overanalyzing things, but all the knocks and bangs, but then you didn't go to the second floor. It makes me wonder if there was somebody up there making the knocks and bangs to heighten the show. But, then they took two photographs that... You know, I'd have to actually see the photograph to really do an analysis on it, but from seeing it on television, it's one thing to get one photograph of an apparition, but two with similar characteristics as far as the way the apparition appeared, you know, white, smoky, see-through. Then on their history, you know, even... the caretaker that's there now won't ultimately admit that there's something demonic down in the basement. He just refers to it as a very aggressive spirit. And then in the history that these folks read on the hospital, it said down in the basement, and in quotation marks it put, there is an entity referred to as the demon. They played on that, and then they ultimately got a photograph of a see-through head that had horns on it. So, yeah.
Man, what a letdown, man.
Yeah. And I like that show because I like seeing people get freaked out. And they even got freaked out at Yorktown. You know, they got a bang, and they all just hauled ass. But, I don't know.
Now, the premise behind the show Stranded, is it actual paranormal investigators that are stranded, or is it normal people that are stranded?
Normal people. They don't even bring equipment with them. There's equipment there that is left for them. They get history. They strap on these cameras that face them where you can see them, and they carry cameras. And they have to stay the night. They have to stay in the building for 5 days.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
5 days? Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, if somebody told me, like, hey, you get to spend the night at Old South for 5 days, I'd be ecstatic. Like, but at the same time, like, after 5 days, I think it would be a little hard to let go of the haunting. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we brought stuff home after 1 day. Imagine what you'll be bringing home after 5 days. It's going to be a little hard to let go.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. So, yeah, I don't know. it's one of those things that I get high expectations on a show and I start enjoying it, and then they go to, you know, and I'm sure in other episodes some of the other paranormal teams probably had the same feelings as some of the other locations that they were at. But when it hit, when they went to Yorktown, since I had actually investigated the building and know a lot about it, and down in the basement, in the front part of the basement, there's like an apartment area, and that's where the priest stayed, right?
Uh-huh.
On the show, they said it was where the caretaker stayed and that she hightailed it and never came back and left a bunch of her stuff there.
Oh, man.
Well, for one thing, it's not a female, it's a male, and I'm not going to say his name, but everybody that's been in Yorktown knows who it is. He's the caretaker of the building, and he's still there.
Yeah. You know, I was actually kind of upset that the donkey passed last year.
I know, man. I know.
Spirit the donkey.
Yeah. He had passed away about 2 weeks before we went down there, so I didn't even get to see the donkey.
Oh, man, that sucks.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I was talking to you earlier about history, haunts, and legends, and we investigated five locations. Two locations were brand new. I'd never been in them. One of them is it was an old house that's been turned into a funeral home, and it's an active running funeral home. And the second and third floor have never been touched as far as the way they were back in the 1800s when the house was built. Had a lot of activity there. A lot of ghost box was responding pretty good and getting intelligent responses to the K2 meter when we asked questions. But yeah, man, because there's people that come to these conferences, they're not on a paranormal team, but they even buy equipment. There were some folks there that had bought some periscopes from Jeremy that are not on a paranormal team or whatnot, but that's just, they kind of freelance and do their own thing. So, you know, one lady had a K2 that was given, it was lighting up the third light on the K2 and it was steady, and I moved it around and show her where the signal was getting weaker and where it got stronger. And I said, you know, ma'am, this is wiring. This is what we do. You know, we don't jump right when those lights go off and go, oh, we got a spirit here. No, the first thing we got to do is we got to find the source of where the signal's coming from to understand whether or not it's something that is created by the electrical in the house or if it's indeed some kind of anomaly that's happening. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's a great teaching tool for folks. I went to one location that's an old antique store, and we've been there several times, and there's an asshole spirit there. He's not a great spirited mind. Sometimes he is, but he was in his asshole mood last night. He told me through the ghost box to leave, you know, and he was trying to make somebody sick. And it's, yeah, I told him, I said, I'm not scared. You're not going to make me leave. I just want to talk to you, dude. So you either talk to me or leave us alone, bottom line. So,
yeah.
And, yeah, we went to the general store. Now, the general store, dude, if you've ever been to Jefferson, you've got to go to the general store. Dude, I went from age 39 down to 10 years old once I walked in there because I didn't even want to investigate. I was walking around shopping. I was looking at everything. I walk back and I see some toys that I used to play with a long time ago. And I even saw a Star Wars Empire Strikes Back lunchbox from back in the day. I was like, oh, man, you know? So, yeah, we didn't really even investigate there.
Yeah, I think we stopped in the general store last time I was in Jefferson, too, and that place is awesome.
Heck, yeah, man. It's just, it gives you a dose of the old school general stores that people see on television. They still got it set up originally the way it was back in the day, and it's so freaking cool. Yeah, I was a kid in a candy store, really and truly.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah, and for folks that are listening, we're still waiting on Brian to call in. I sent him a message, and he should be calling in anytime. Of course, this is live radio, and people do have lives, and they do have things that come up. So
oh, yeah.
Hopefully, we will get him on the air, but in the meantime, you just have to listen to Martin and myself.
All right. Oh, man.
But
sorry, man.
I know. You're worn out. I know the feeling. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people at the conference about the direction that we are going in our experimentation. Like I told Jeremy, when we go to Hill House, and of course you'll be there as well, you and Stacy, and I said, do bring all your equipment, you know, because I want you to monitor everything when we do some of our experiments, because we know it's haunted. We know Hill House has got activity. I want to use our time that's there to do a lot of experiments and do a lot of testing and use the spirits that are there to help us understand some of these things that, you know, we're all guilty of it. We've said it numerous times. I know I have. I've said, oh, it's a cold spot. Must mean that a spirit is drawing from the air, making it colder to manifest. Well, have we really tested that theory? Have we really put some of these things that we've inherited, that we've heard from other teams or from television? It's time to really understand what we're telling people, you know, instead of just telling them we need to have a foundation of knowledge to really be able to say, yeah, this is what's going on. You know, I even, you know, with cleansing a home and saging it and then sealing the house up with salt, I want to test salt, dude. I want to put sea salt in a circle and put some equipment in the middle and see if they'll actually cross the sea salt in order to light up one of the devices. Because,
you know, I agree with you, man. I seriously think a lot of what, you know, what we're telling other people, it's just a lot of it is belief-based, you know, like it works because you believe it works.
Right. And, I like I told the teams at History and Haunts, dude, I said for us to really, truly help people that are in need of help, we need to test a lot of this stuff that we're telling them so that we understand whether or not it truly works. And a lot of times I understand with faith and whatnot and spirituality and things, you gotta believe it works in order for it to work. Right.
Right.
What you believe and what you put into it will ultimately base on whether or not it works. But on the scientific end, the physical part of it, I want to see if there's something to it. If there's really something to do with limestone, does it really, truly hold energy? I want to know this.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to know this because all the time you watch on television, they go, oh, well, this has got a foundation of limestone, and there's paranormal activity. So, yeah, limestone holds energy. Well, I want to know it. I want to see it happen.
You know, also going on top of that, it's like, what if all the whole limestone theory was just, you know, a bunch of coincidences, you know, and then...
Yeah.
And then along the way, someone's like, oh, limestone must be the reason. And then here you are, every building that has limestone is automatically haunted.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And those are the type of things that I want to be able to test, because if I do come across a client that has limestone on their property, I can be able to really tell them, yes or no, this could be some of the cause of activity, right? I want to know. And we always... You know, in the field, we've gotten away from testing theories, and we've gone, we're still in that, let's find spirits, let's find ghosts, let's try to get the best evidence possible. Well,
yeah,
like for you and me and Jeremy and some of the others that are in the field, and we know that there are spirits, there are things that happen. It's one of those things where we want to take it a direction where we're testing those things. And even Jeremy is doing that with the development of his technology. He's trying to develop things that are strictly for paranormal, because some of the equipment that we still use today were not designed for paranormal investigation. They were designed for other things, other jobs like electricians trying to find electrical stuff. That's where the K2 came from. And EMF meters, you know, and truly understand what's going on. Because you and I know there's spirits there, so we don't have to go looking for it. We know they're there, you know. So
yeah,
it's time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things. I want to basically test the spirits on stuff in our physical realm.
Heck yeah! I mean, to be honest, man. I mean, yeah, a lot of the ghost hunters do buy into the EMF theory, but like, you know, do we really know that the spirits put off an EMF reading? You know?
Yeah.
There's just so much that we don't know, and so much that we think we might know, but we could, you know, ultimately be wrong. And it's just like, you just spin circles, man, thinking about this all day.
Yeah, you know, and just like you can use everyday household items. You know, I liked what Sherry did at ParaUnity, showing different items that you can use that are not even operated by batteries that you can find in your everyday home to use to try to communicate with spirits.
Oh, yeah,
That was a cool presentation, and that shows you, you know, I mean, like I said, you could hang, if there's a hallway, like an entrance, right, that, like a hill house, we could even test this, because I've seen, not only on camera, but through the corner of my eye, I've seen spirits moving from that creepy ass bathroom down into the window room through that doorway. Well, hang some strings up on that doorway and see if they move.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know,
I mean,
that's a
I have seen my fair share of creepy stuff at a Hill House, but I mean, every little thing that you can think of to help enhance your situation is going to be better in the long run, you know?
Yeah, and I'm going to – I found a company that sells this – they're like little pads that are heat sensitive, heat and cold sensitive. And if you step on it, it'll leave a footprint, you know, depending on the heat you're putting off. It'll give a
– Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I want to get some of them to take to Hill House and set them bad boys down, because, you know, the cat, they have that cat litter box there, and they'll smooth it out, and sometimes there'll be footprints of a cat in that cat litter box, and there's no cat in the building.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. I can agree with that, because when I was up there, we reset all the little cat litter trays, you know,
yeah.
And we went back upstairs and we found a paw print in one of the trays. And dude, we searched that whole building up and down, opened every drawer in that place. There was never a cat found, but at the same time that we found that cat print, as an EVP on only one recorder, I got a cat meowing, and I had two recorders at me at the time, and it was only on one recorder, not the other.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, you know,
yeah.
I want to recreate, I want to try to recreate, do some more things with those cards that we did the last time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was pretty fun.
That was some crazy stuff, dude. Yeah, so... You know, those are types of things. I can't wait till next month. I get to go back to that old Arkansas sanatorium that's 10 stories tall. And
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, over 20,000 people died there.
Yeah.
You walk in that place, and you can feel the spirit energy when you walk in the front door of it. And it's just... we had rocks thrown at us there. Two people got scratched. One person got grabbed and left a handprint on their arm.
Didn't Flaxman, he was getting some weird anomalies on the FLIR?
Yes.
He brought the
Tesla coil, and this bad boy puts out like, oh, I can't even remember the number. I think he said something like close to a million, however they measure it. But when you turn that thing on, dude, you know, and that Tesla coil was going, that whole floor just was electrified. I mean, we couldn't even get real close to it because it affected your body.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. So maybe Larry will bring back the Tesla coil because that thing was badass. He charged that whole entire building with that thing.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, could you imagine, take maybe four or five Tesla coils to Old South and just pick a floor and just start letting go off?
Dude, that third floor would just go crazy.
Oh, yeah, man. I could be on the third floor by myself, but it was in small doses. Like, and I don't get creeped out that much, but, man, when I got up there, I felt like I was one person in a hallway and people were peeking out of their doors to stare at me, you know?
Yeah.
It was that kind of feeling, and I was...
We were getting crazy stuff going on when we were up there doing our radio broadcast that night.
Yeah, yeah. That was some crazy stuff going on up there.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, we're going to take a short break, and hopefully I can get a hold of Brian to get him to call in. We're still waiting on Brian to call in. We'll take a short break here so I can get a little bit of Monster in me to kind of get my energy going again.
Nice.
Let me see. What are we going to play here? We'll play a little bit of Eagles. We'll be back in about 3.5 minutes.
Awesome.
Sweet love.
This show is brought to you by the Unknown Radio Network, consisting of the very best selection of paranormal internet radio shows anywhere on the web. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Unknown Radio Network.
You're listening to the Unknown Radio Network at www.blogtalkradio.com/unknownpg. You are in.
And we're back. I remember Brian had messaged me yesterday and said that he was in Ryder's jail. So hopefully he'll get released, he said, by 10 p.m., which would be his time. So it's 9:45, so maybe hopefully he'll be calling in soon. But I knew that he had something going on today, so I think he's running a little bit late. But I'm sure he will be calling in. But in the meantime, you have Kevin from Unknown Paranormal and Martin from Bravo Paranormal on the air right now. And if any of you would like to call in and chat with us for a little bit, the number is 323-580-5703. So, yeah, man, that's, you know, we were talking earlier before we took a little break there. We were talking about different theories and different tests out there. And, you know, that's just one route I want to go with these haunted locations that we're doing. And so, man, I've got a lot of people in the field, you know, when I'm talking to them this weekend about that. And on another note as well, just to do some promoting for the event that we're putting on, the website is now up. I'm going to have Jeff make me a radio ad for this event. But East Texas Ghost Con 2013, it is October 4th, 5th, and 6th. Of course, 6th. I just say it's the 6th because that's Sunday. You know, if you're going to be at the event all day Saturday, more than likely you'll probably spend the night in a hotel and leave on the 6th. But the conference itself is actually on Saturday. It starts at 9 in the morning and goes to 5:30 unless I change the times. But right now that's what it's set for. We have Larry Flaxman that's going to speak. We have Jennifer Broussard of Louisiana Spirits. We have Anthony Cepeda. We also have a guy that's coming from Kentucky. Some people may know him. Some people may not be familiar with him, but we're going to have Aaron Houdini there, and he's a paranormal investigator and also a magician. Illusionist, and he's going to do a escape act from a straitjacket. He actually holds the world record for fastest escape from a straitjacket. And of course, if you know the Houdinis, Harry Houdini, that was his main thing, was the escape from the straitjacket. Of course, he did other things later on that were more dangerous, but yeah, we have him. We added Martha Decker from East Texas Paranormal to the lineup, and Brandon Garrett, who is he has his own Bigfoot hunting team out of Conroe, Texas, close to Houston, Texas. He will be speaking on Bigfoot. So
nice.
A great lineup. We have Hotel Marshall is one of the investigation sites. It's an 8-story abandoned hotel. Unknown has actually investigated that place last month and had a lot of activity. So that will be one of the buildings that will be investigated. We added Friday a house that is 6,000 square feet. It's also got a slave quarter in the back. It's got 3 floors and a basement. And so we added that to the lineup of places to investigate. And we got a couple new ones that we're also working on besides that new building. So a new look, some really cool things. There's going to be a cemetery tour If you don't want to go on the investigations with the paranormal teams, you can go to two historic cemeteries there in Marshall. One is got the majority of the people buried in it is from the Civil War. So very old and really cool cemetery there. And, yeah, you might have to get some photographs of that cemetery, Martin. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Heck yeah, man.
And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places there that you'll probably wear your camera out because there's so many cool old buildings in that town. There's 98 historical buildings and homes in that town.
Wow.
And, yeah, dating back to the early 1800s. So it was a major stop for the railroad between Shreveport and Dallas. And so a lot of history in the town. The site is, if you want to look up all the information, I've gone into real detail. It's not like any other event where I just put up who's speaking, the time, the tickets, and that's it. I went into every piece of information I could possibly provide for folks that are interested so that they really understand what's going on. And you kind of get to pick and choose what you want to do depending on what price you want to pay. So you kind of pick your own day, right, of what you want to do. And that website is www.EastTexasGhostCon2013, all one word, .Eventbrite, and Eventbrite spelled EventBrite .com. Check it out. It's already up online. Tickets are now on sale. So if you want to come to Marshall, Texas for a great time in October, please come join us. I added this weekend, I added three or four more teams. I believe, Martin, we're up to about 19 or 20 teams that will be in attendance.
Nice, nice. Hey, is there any way I can pay for a limo service to come get me?
We'll work out something. I'll be getting somebody to come up here and kidnap you and Stacy.
Heck yeah, man. That sounds awesome.
Well, we can get Jeremy Jones is also speaking. I can't believe I forgot him. He's also in the lineup. So I'll just have Jeremy or somebody up there because we've got a lot of people coming from Dallas. They're going to have to kidnap your ass.
Yeah, for sure. Because my little hoofty is, I think, is on his left legs. Dude, my front brakes are out, man. I almost slammed into this lady the other day. It was no fun, I'll tell you that much. You ever get scared so bad that you just, you know, rub your body to make sure you're still alive?
Right.
that happened to me. I was like, oh, am I still here? It was crazy. But go ahead.
I was just going to say before you continue, just to keep reminding folks that are listening, because we got a couple people in the chat room. Brian Kano is still supposed to call in. He's working on a project this weekend, and he's supposed to get freed up here in the next 15 minutes or so. He told me, he'd be cutting it close. So hopefully he'll be able to get freed up so that he can call in. And so for right now, it's Martin and myself. And Martin, you were in the middle of talking, so go ahead.
Oh, yeah, nah. It's all good. I know it was the right situation. I was it was a pretty frightening little experience, but I think for right now, I want to get a new ride, but it's just I'm in between those stages of like getting caught up and being okay and like being broke as crap. Because I changed jobs here recently, and my new job is so much better. It's just I had to go through a couple paychecks to finally break even,
Right.
But yeah. And it's been a rough little 6-week patch, but I think we're pretty much over the hill now on it. And hopefully pretty soon I'll be driving my Ferrari or Maserati, I don't know.
or the Bravo chopper.
Yeah, dude, that would be awesome. I would never drive another vehicle if I could afford a helicopter. I'm like, gonna go shop at Walmart, just gonna land on the building.
Right. You know, and to talk a little bit off subject of the paranormal, everybody knows, you know, all the tensions that are building with North Korea. And I just don't understand this dude. Does he really know who he's messing with all these threats?
Oh, yeah. You know, I did post this to my Facebook the other day, and I do have some concerns over this. And the only concerns I have is Kim Jong is only 30 years old. So I see where he's coming from. He doesn't want to be that kid. He wants to be taken as a man, like serious, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, he's also got to realize that he is effing with the one force in the world that can just decimate his country and not even blink an eye about it. But at the same time, you know, right now we're technically in a recession coming out of it a little bit. But if we go to war again, our country cannot afford another full-out war like that, right?
So
I feel like if we go to war with North Korea, you know, Iran and Israel, they'll straight up just give us the middle fingers and turn their backs on us. And then at the same time, Russia or Soviet Union, however you want to call it, they've been waiting for the chance to hit us while we're down. And if we go to war with North Korea, Russia will team up with North Korea, and things will be really bad. And we might as well just adopt the euro at that point. But so I do hope that you know, Kim Jong learns to fall in line, because first off, you know, if he keeps threatening with nuclear strike and this and that, and I have a feeling that if he goes too far, we're gonna end up giving him the same two middle fingers we give to Japan.
Yeah. Well, my concern with it is, you know, if he launches one of these missiles, you know, and they haven't really proven they go very far. Well, what if this thing lands in China, his only ally? Then he's gonna have a serious issue at hand. And you know, the whole last month when the Congress had that filibuster on drones, well, here you go. Send all the freaking drones over there. Leave our troops out. You know, do not put them on the ground, and just send in a bunch of drones and
You
know, and just launch. Of course, even just launching one freaking bomb is probably 50,000 to 500,000 or even $1 million just for that one bomb to be deployed.
Yeah.
And like you said, it'll put us in a financial pinch already. We're already in a major bind. So, and I think if our country is smart and the UN is smart, I think the reason he's doing all these threats is he wants an open conversation with the United States in South Korea. And I think he's just doing this to get what he wants as far as talking. I hope that South Korea and the United States, the United Nations, they don't get their pride involved and say, well, we're not going to talk to him if he's going to act like that. And then he actually says, okay, well, you're not going to talk to me? Well, here you go. And it'll be one of those times in history where we go to war over something really stupid. And I really pray for the powers to be that they do what they need to do. And so I just want to hit that just a little bit as well.
I do have a little a couple of letdowns. You know, I am a little politically charged at times, and I, you know, everybody stands for whatever they stand for, but at the same time, I was kind of raised to always stand behind the president, whoever it was, right? No. Mm-hmm. Two things really kind of peeved me a little bit. One was the Monsanto Protection Act. That was kind of like, I was like, what are you thinking, man? And the other one is, and this is going to sound funny, but I seriously think Obama needs to let the Samuel Jackson out of him. I know he has it in him. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know he has it in him, and I know, you know, one of these times that Kim Jong is addressing him, he just needs to bust out with his Samuel Jackson and be like, I don't remember asking you a damn thing. And I'll be happy again. One thing that Obama did say to Kim Jong that I thought was pretty cool was that Kim Jong was threatening America with nuclear force. And Obama was like, I know that you're new at this, and if you're having trouble finding the red line, we'll surely draw it out for you. I was like, oh, snap. So I thought that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I hope this whole war thing gets settled fairly quickly without incident, you know?
Yeah, and I was looking back while I was listening to you. I was looking back at my conversation with Brian. He said on there he should be way home before 10 p.m. Of course, he's in New York, which 10 p.m. would be 9 our time. So I don't know if I told him our show started at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock. So whatever way, hopefully we will be hearing from him soon, because I think he was under the impression that we started right now.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
It happens.
Yeah. It's part of the biz, man, you know?
Part of the biz. It's one of those things. We'll go over a few upcoming guests that we're going to have while we have this opportunity. Because if we do get Brian on the show, I want to spend time talking to him and not doing all this other stuff. So next week, like I said, is our two-year anniversary. Hopefully Jeff will come up with something funny for the intro music. He always does stuff on special occasions. So, we have Deb Lance next week, and the following week we have Dawn Short. She's a psychic medium. And then we have Sarah Harmon, who's also a psychic medium. And then I talked about her earlier. Natalie Poole will be on May 5th. She was on Ghost Hunters Academy, and she is currently developing technology and building equipment for the paranormal field. And then on May 12th, we're going to have Monica Rollins. She's out of Dallas, Texas, and she's a cryptozoologist in the Bigfoots.
Oh, cool.
So we'll have a female Bigfoot hunter on the show. And then we're going to have Morgan Lynn, who is a psychic medium in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and is also in talks with me about helping me with the Pittsburgh Hospital project. So
nice.
Great stuff coming up for us. And like I said, Brian's also scheduled for Tuesday and on Terrify Radio. So get all of our plug and biz out of the way. And Unknown Paranormal, we're in the process of revamping our website and giving it a new look, a new touch. So my dad's working on that right now, and we'll be launching it soon. And I'm developing not a new logo for Unknown Paranormal, because we will always have our crossbone logo, because that's the team, the company. But we are developing new shirts that I'm designing right now, and be looking out for that, because that's going to be really freaking cool. I'm doing a spin on the crossbones, but I'm using swords, a shield,
oh, nice.
And all three stuff. Because it represents what we do, some of the spiritual warfares that we get involved. One of the swords is going to be demonic looking, and the other one is going to be a sword from the archangels, like St. Michael or Gabriel.
Oh, right on.
And, the shield's going to have the Holy Cross on it and unknown in like a little scroll type thing. So, and we're going to have the swords crossed just like they are with the crossbones. So
a little play off of the logo I've already designed and developed this for new shirts, just to give us a new look. We haven't had a new shirt in 3 years, so we're gonna step up to the plate and make new shirts.
Nice. I think what I'm gonna do is mess with fiber optic and then create a shirt that actually puts off IR.
Hey, you just found an idea. Why don't we develop? And they already have some of this technology with the REM pod teddy bear. And I've actually seen them Ghost Adventures where they've had the jacket that's got the sensors in it. Why don't we develop paranormal shirts where every team puts their logo and whatnot, and it's just a regular paranormal shirt. But then when you go and investigate, it's got REM pods in it.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I know they can do it because it's called conductive fabric. And it works the same way as wire, you know. And I know it can be done. But
that would be badass,
cool.
Man. We could, you know, everybody have their own paranormal shirt, and then it turns into a piece of equipment when they're at a haunted location.
For real, man. Imagine, like, you know, imagine on the front you had a shirt that said unknown, and, you know, at night you couldn't even tell the difference. But when you saw it in IR, it just lit up all the way across saying unknown. That would be so cool.
Yeah. Now somebody out there is going to steal our ideas, but oh well.
Yeah.
I'm not worrying about it.
You know, if they're listening in and they have the fortitude to build such a shirt, I tip my hat to them and I congratulate them because I want to see.
And you could send me a dollar royalty for every shirt you sell just to kind of help me out.
Awesome. Right. Oh, man. But, yeah, you know, I do want to recap a little bit on you guys and the fact that you guys are striking out and trying new theories and stuff, because I do feel like we kind of hit an apex with equipment. And right now the market's so saturated with equipment and everybody wanting to get new toys and stuff like that, we hadn't even proven what we can do spiritually and by hand. You know, like ghost hunters of 1800s were – doing this stuff with paper and pen and, you know, wire recorders.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things where if you look back to the Native Americans, they didn't have any of this stuff. They had fire. They had water. They had the human element. They had the elements of the earth, you know. And
oh, yeah.
I want to know why they were, you know, because they were very, very spiritual people, and most of their belief systems and how they lived their lives was based on their spiritualism and their love for Earth. And I want to test fire. I want to see what happens, because we, even you and myself, we've seen one of our colleagues who uses fire in a ceremony. And we've seen manifest in the fire, and I want to go a step further with testing on that.
Yeah. You know, speaking of, have you seen some of Richard Contreras' new photos?
Uh-uh.
Oh, man. Check him out tonight after you get off the show. One of his photos, he was doing his fire process, right? And
yeah.
One of the photos, there is I don't want to call it a shadow person because it's not a shadow. It's like a mist, but it is a humanoid shape, man, and there's no mistaking it. I was like, wow. I was like, you know, if there was any ghost photo that was going to make me change my mind and be like, that's a ghost photo, it probably would have been that picture.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Those are some of the things that I just think that, like you said, we've hit kind of a wall in the field. You know, there's just so much equipment out there. There's so much, and I love the new equipment. I love everything that Jeremy develops because I look at it as another tool to use to monitor the environment with what I'm wanting to do. So, but as far as hitting a wall, I mean, there is just so many locations that you can just walk around, EVP recorder, take photographs, video, and then you go home. And Mike summed it up in his speech yesterday. You know, there's so much that you can do with that, right? You take it to a client and you say, okay, this is what we got. Well,
right,
that really doesn't solve the whole reason they called you. They called you because they're having problems with this activity.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What are you going to do now, you know? Yeah, you have a ghost. See you later. We got our evidence, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And like I said, when I did that presentation, and of course you didn't get to step in on that because you were doing your photography, but in my class at ParaUnity, I talked about that, and that if we're truly out to help people, you know, if that's our number one goal is to help people, educate this community, educate people that have no idea what's going on in their home, we as paranormal investigators, it is our duty to test these things and really get a foundation on what's going on, things that work, things that don't work, things that are in the house that could possibly manifest some of this activity, you know. And, you know, I had a good conversation with Lloyd Auerbach, who's a parapsychologist, and they actually do lab work with psychic mediums and past life experiences and whatnot. And I even talked to him about that because, you know, they've even tested teenagers that are going into puberty. They give off some kind of energy that they can actually manifest. You know, people talked about poltergeist. Poltergeist, what the actual term is referring to, it's not something that was alive on this earth and passed away. It's actually a manifestation of energy, and it creates its own being, right?
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, that's what a poltergeist – when you hear poltergeist activity, that's what it is. And it's something that was created by us, the human element, the condition of the home, what's going on in the house. And a lot of times with teenagers, they found in the parapsychology side of it that puberty has something to do with it, that they can actually move things, you know.
Yeah.
They don't know they're moving them, but there's something that in the body when it's going through those changes that they're discovering that is creating this atmosphere that there's a spirit there.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's I seriously believe that we as humans can create a lot more than we're giving ourselves credit for. You know what I mean? Because I mean, there's been times when I was operating the ghost box when exactly what I was thinking would come out on the ghost box, and it's like, and it starts messing with you. Or even if you're like, I'm about to ask this question, and before you even ask, the question gets answered. So it brings you down to that point, like, can they read my mind, or is it, am I projecting my thoughts outward and the ghost box is just picking it up, you know?
Yeah. And we talked to Lloyd about that because, you know, he actually went to school, got a degree in parapsychology, which it's very rare because a lot of colleges don't offer that program. And he's part of a parapsychology group that has a research center, and they actually do scientific lab research, and
yeah,
it's on humans. And right now they're doing a big thing on, you know, we even know about the government doing, they've done experiments in the past with psychics doing remote viewing, right, where they can take a psychic and have them remote view like an enemy bunker.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forget the name of that. What's the name of that project? I think it had like a remote viewing type of name to it. I always forget.
Yeah.
But yeah, what's interesting about it is that they got so good at it that they can teach normal everyday people who could never thought of themselves as a medium or somebody that could, you know, do something like that. They could teach them how to do it. And they were having a pretty high success rate. It was like, I think it was like 70%, which, you know, 70% doesn't sound that high, you know, but when you're talking about, you're asking somebody to find a location somewhere on Earth and describe it with extreme detail. I mean, that's exponential, man. It's like, that's amazing, you know?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I have a client that I'm continuing to work with. I'm actually going to give her a call after the show to kind of see how she's doing. Where I've called in one of our colleagues that we've interviewed her on the show, Lee Brown, and she has the ability to astro travel and do remote viewing. And it was very interesting, you know, talking to her and then talking to my client and whatnot. And my client was just like beside herself because she told her the whole layout of her house. And Lee's all the way in North Carolina, and this lady's in Dallas. So
she's never been
there, and she can tell you exactly where everything is in the house. And the, you know, the client was like, she asked her, she's like, oh, how do you know all this? She goes, because I'm there with you right now, you know. And that phenomenon itself, it just blows my mind when you think of some of the stuff that is possible. And you know, and that's why we had a. I have to try to see if I Lloyd. I tried to get Lloyd on our show, but he's a college professor, and so the only night he had off was Tuesday. But maybe sometime in the future I can get him on there because oh my God, I had such a great conversation with him about parapsychology, and he's actually working on a project for a TV network of a new show. About past lives, and they're actually taking children ages 3 to 4, and that are already telling their parents about their past lives, and they're doing research on that and testing them and whatnot, and I think it's fascinating because. The reason they're doing it on very young children is the fact that they're not able, their mind is not soaked with knowledge. Their mind is not, because if you think about it, if you take, say, a 25-year-old who says they were a Civil War soldier, well, there's 25 years of them watching television, being in school, all that knowledge, everything that's soaked in their brain, you know as well as I do, if you really put your mind to it, you can actually make yourself believe stuff, right? You can conjure all that up in your head and make it more of a reality to yourself. So that's why they're testing small children on this. And Jody and I talk about it on Terra 5 with Jody's 3-year-old. And this is a very interesting story. And we told this to him. Jody was sitting with her one day, and she come up and said, "Mama, I remember when you were sick as a little girl." And Jody's like, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, your grandmother took care of you." And she described it into detail. And Jody has never told this child this. You know, she's 3 years old. And she looked at her and she goes, "Well, how do you know all this stuff?" And she goes, "Mom, I was there."
Wow.
And Jody she's like, "That just blew my mind." She goes, I can't figure it out, you know?
Yeah. See, and stuff like that, like Jeremy was telling me the story. It wasn't a story because it really did happen, but one of his friends, she had a pit bull. And let's just, for the sake of the story, say the name of this pit bull was Blue. Well, this girl was in the kitchen, and her kitchen was set up to where it was opened up. You know, there was like a little kitchen counter that was part of the kitchen, and also, you know, it opened up into the living room, so you could see into the living room from the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she heard her dog Blue, and so she walked over to the end of the counter, looked down, and saw her dog. Her dog was looking all sad and distressed and stuff, and she was, like, kind of taken back by it. She was like, "What, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong?" And she said that Blue turned his head and looked at the couch. And so that girl was kind of freaked out, and she looked at the couch, and Blue was laying on the couch asleep. And that girl freaked out. She looked down. That dog was gone.
And so she asked Jeremy, she's like, what could this be? You know, was it a ghost of my dog or, you know, what's going on? And Jeremy's like, you know, that is the biggest question. I mean, the possibilities of what happened are so infinite because, yeah, it could have been his ghost. You know, he could have been astral projecting. He could have been a product of a multiverse, like, you know, just two universes bumping into each other. She could have witnessed something that hasn't happened yet, and she just, you know, she caught a glimpse of the future, or maybe she caught a glimpse of the past. Maybe she saw this dog's doppelganger. I mean, the possibilities of what could have happened are so infinite. But at the same time, it was a paranormal event, you know? So, I mean, stuff like that blows my mind every day. It makes me think about it, you know, from the minute I wake up to the minute I go to bed.
Right. Well, Mr. Brian, he just messaged me. He was sorry. He said he had major phone problems. But I told him that he can go ahead and call in.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So he should be calling in here shortly. But, yeah, man, it's... And we're going to get into that more discussion with Deb Lance next week because her son has a very he talks about it and has a very interesting story about his past life.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool to talk to somebody that can recall a past life because I don't know, man. I sometimes feel like I've lived on Earth before, but I can't pinpoint when. I do know that I was alive around the same time as gladiators. I couldn't tell you if I was one or if I was just like, you know, your normal everyday person. But I always, growing up, I always knew that I was around during that time.
Yeah, you know, I always wonder that because we all have this special draw to a certain time period in history, like mine is Civil War. And it always makes you wonder if there's a reason behind why you're so interested or drawn to a certain time in history. And I believe Brian has called in. Let's get him on air. Brian,
I am
there?
Here, guys. I'm here.
Hey, how's it going?
A little late, but better late than never, huh?
That's right.
Right? How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing well. It's been a crazy night. I've been having some tech problems over here. Technology doesn't always work the way we want it to, so I apologize for being late.
Oh, you're
okay.
Fine.
You know, growing up... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's it was a strange week, I gotta tell you, and it's back to work now, back to, I'm not sure if you've been keeping up with Facebook and certain posts. I just spent the last 7 days in something called writer's jail. And
oh, wow.
This was an experiment. This was a social experiment and kind of a, let's be honest, it was a publicity stunt for Chris Mancuso and myself. We locked ourselves away for a week in the Grand Midway Hotel, and the job was we wanted to complete a screenplay, which we did. And because we met our goal and we finished writing our screenplay, we had our quote-unquote parole hearing yesterday. We were released today, and I just got home maybe a few hours ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm on the outside again.
I bet seeing your house had never been sweeter.
Seriously.
Now, you know, one thing that what interested, especially with like Martin and myself, we're in the paranormal field and we use a lot of technology and old techniques and new. And I know with being on the show and even in your background prior to it, you do that kind of stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of sparked your interest? I read your bio to everybody listening, but what really intrigued you when you were growing up to really get into this and try to find answers for yourself?
I always was someone who was interested in things that were considered, quote-unquote, occult. When I was growing up, there really wasn't the kind of paranormal acceptance that there was, that there is today. And I was raised Catholic. I went through my sacraments, baptism, confirmation, communion, all nine yards. And a lot of the values were instilled in me to not really question things, because it was all about faith, have faith. And
yeah.
I was the kid that was too scared to go into the mirror and say Bloody Mary three times for fear that something bad might happen. Let's not kick a hornet's nest. So these types of things that are unseen and mysterious and otherworldly were scary. And it's one of those things that fear is one of the most primal motivators, whether it be to hide, to learn, to grow, to fight, to run. Fear is often at the center of any of this. So as you know, a young person, as a child, you know, I was afraid of it. Then when I was 10, the movie Ghostbusters came out. And even though it was a comedy, it showed me that, yes, hey, this is something that can be dealt with. This is something that science can handle. And it kind of put two and two together for me that, yes, you know, the universe is a place that, even though we don't understand everything about it, it has rules. It follows laws. We don't even have to get into who made the rules or who made the laws, but it operates in a certain way because that's how it functions. That being the case, once we understand more about it, we can deal with it. And the paranormal will eventually become part of the normal, quote unquote.
Right.
And for a 10-year-old, that was a pretty big mind-blowing concept, and it kind of helped me deal with that fear. And as I got older, the more I read, the more I researched, the more I got into it, the more it became something that I definitely wanted to do. And 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, when I started doing the Scared documentary series, I was a skeptic. I had gotten to a place where maybe I was a little jaded, and I just said, you know what? There's nothing. We're deluding ourselves. And all that stuff I grew up on, you know, that's just a system of control. That's men being men trying to control other men. And I've since come back to the middle. You know, I'm not a person of great faith, but I understand that it has its uses, and it's necessary kind of for what we do in the field.
Right. Now, yeah. You know, I do agree with the fact, you know, you're saying paranormal will one day be the normal. I mean, think like 15 years ago, you want to talk to somebody about ghosts, they're like, hey, oh, whoa, let's slow down on this, you know. Now today, I mean, you can go talk to anybody basically on the street and be like, hey, have you ever had a paranormal experience? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I used to have a ghost in my house. And it's so out in the open now. People are so much more willing to accept what's going on that it really is starting to become a little bit more of the normal, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, not a day goes by that I don't meet someone, speak to someone, see someone on the street, get an email that says, hey, check out this picture, you know, what do you think? Or, hey, I just had an experience. And they go into great detail and they tell you about it. Whereas, like you said, where this 15, 20 years ago, they would not be speaking about it. And I'd say up until 2004, the paranormal, especially on television, was a Halloween thing. Come
right.
End of September, the entire month of October, it was ghosts and spirits and the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and you know, we all got our taste, we all got our fill, but you had to drink up in that 1 month because then the rest of the year there was nothing.
Right.
Until the reality investigation shows came on, kicked that door open and said, hey guys, we're doing this, and we're doing this 24/7 for the entire year. And now, like, turn on the TV, turn on any channel, there's at least 2-3 ghost shows, which pretty much let everyone know that, you know what, you're not alone. And like the Ghostbusters credo, we're ready to believe you.
Right, right. For real. I mean, it's just, it is pretty amazing how the last couple of years have turned out, that, you know, things have gone so mainstream that it's no longer considered a sin to talk about, you know, things that have been going on with you out loud, you know?
It's amazing with all the, I think we're on a slight delay. It's amazing with some of the events that go on, just the coming together of ideas and experiences. And I think we're definitely heading in, for the most part, the right direction. A couple of years ago, all the equipment that we had, all the equipment that you could use, was for the most part just repurposed industrial or hardware use. And now there's people out there making equipment specifically for the purpose of paranormal investigation. I think that's great. And the more we keep doing this, the more we keep pulling together for the common goals. You know, the goal kind of in the end product. We're all looking to see what's out there, whether it be for personal reasons, for answers, what have you. We're all kind of moving along the same highway. And I think it's great. That highway is getting bigger every day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things I like best is one of my friends, he owns Paranologies, and what's cool about it is that he's a ghost hunter that's creating devices for ghost hunters, you know? So it's pretty cool to see him put his theories into work and put out devices that could help you out better than, say, just an EMF detector.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, with you and all your experiences, what do you like to use when you investigate? I mean, what's your equipment of choice?
My equipment of choice. I wish it could be whittled down to a Swiss Army knife, all-purpose one gadget. And I gotta say, the millimeters come close. I've got a millimeter that has a REM pod extension along with a shadow detector and an ATDD temperature differential sensor, which also has the standard flashlight and temperature gauge and EMF detector in it. So that's close. but I kind of always really, even to this day, I rely upon my Gauss Master EMF meter. And why is that? Some people say, "Oh, why are you still using that? Oh, it's makes an annoying noise. It's not accurate." Accurate for what? It's doing the job it was meant to do. I'm looking for EMF fields. It's finding them. It's telling me how strong they are. The piece of gadgetry is valiantly and quietly doing, you know, it's best. The meter isn't looking for ghosts. I'm not looking for ghosts. I'm looking for evidence. I'm looking for truth. So
yeah.
That 100% of the time will get me that truth.
Nice.
I rely on it to this day.
Yeah, and, you know, Martin and I were talking about this earlier. One thing that my team is starting to do, because we've kind of gotten to that point in our paranormal career, we've been doing this for a long time and been together for several years, that there's so many buildings that you can go into, document evidence, use your equipment, do the EVP session, and, you know, it gets kind of stale after a while, so you have to kind of reinvent it, right? You have to kind of find new things to try. So we decided to kind of use all the equipment, all the technology that's out there, and use it to our advantage and go back and test old theories, test things like limestone. Does it really hold energy, you know, fire, you know, the elements of the earth, and test those things so that we have more of a knowledge and foundation base when it comes to helping our clients out when they call us into their homes.
I mean, it's definitely a good thing, seeing as how the subject of spirits and ghosts and the hunt or search for them has been going on for hundreds, yea, thousands of years before the bell meter was invented. So, yeah, there's like I said before, the universe works the way it does, whether we understand it or not. So whether we have a gadget to observe that or not it's still going to happen. And, you know, our ancestors have been pretty close to the mark, I feel. I'm as I get older, I really feel like, you know what, we lost a lot of knowledge and we're just getting it back now.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Maybe we're even hardwiring it into microchips and what have you, but you know, we're rediscovering things that we lost. And until we get back to where they were and move forward, we're playing catch up. And
we're
getting schooled right now.
yeah, I agree.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to totally agree with you because I think, especially with the Native Americans and how spiritual they were, and, you know, they didn't have millimeters and whatnot, and they believed in the spirit world, you know, and I think over the generations, like you said, I think we've lost a lot of that information, and it's kind of like we have to go in reverse and rediscover all that information again.
Right. And also, if we want to take this to a philosophical or theological level, you know, what's the next state of existence? You know, where in popular science fiction, what happens to the human race millions of years later? Hey, you know, if the Earth doesn't blow up, we evolve into beings of light. And, you know, spirits are beings of light, angels, beings of light. Everything seems to come back to that. Why? Maybe there's some truth in it. Maybe there's a nugget of something we're remembering or something that we forgot and are rediscovering. But imagine if this is a truth. All right, this energy cloud, this light, or whatever it is we are and whatever it is we become, doesn't need the gadget, doesn't need the tech. And luckily, that won't happen for a long time because that would give me, you know, I'd hate to not have a gadget to use because that's just who I am. But I feel that it's important, but it shouldn't be the focus. The analogy I like to use here, I always tell people, you don't need to be Bruce Wayne to investigate the paranormal. Batman,
right.
Yeah.
He can afford them, so he might as well use them. But you don't want to run out, spend a lot of money, and buy things that you're using and you don't understand the concepts behind them. Sure, you can have a thermal camera that costs you $14,000 or one of the new ones that costs, you know, $1,500. Do you understand what the uses is, what you're trying to do with it? No, you just want to point around and, hey, look, pretty colors. You just wasted the money.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is something that we've kind of been trying to tell people a lot now, that I think everyone goes through their own stages of evolution when they come into the paranormal. You know, you start a group, you get the black t-shirts, you get business cards, you start a website, then you start going to paranormal conventions, and then you get a table at those conventions, and you set up the threefold board that has blurry pictures of orbs and your team. You take pictures, you know, looking tough, and nobody smiles wearing those black t-shirts and hats. You start selling t-shirts and hats. You make guest appearances on TV shows and start your career, you start lecturing, all this stuff happens. And then there comes a point, and I think you echoed it before when you said, hey, we've been doing this a long time. We're now taking a step back, and we're looking backwards. And I feel I'm at that point now, too, because all the things I just mentioned, been there, done that. We've done that. For our Scared documentary series now, it's no longer about, hey, look how cool our team is. Look at this place. It's the next paranormal hotspot. It's the next Stanley Hotel. We're like, you know what? It's about process. Take a step back and look at the process. Our last two DVDs that came out are the Paranormal Investigators Casebook Volume 1 and 2. And we focus on what we feel is the right way to investigate. And it's surrounded by the tenets of foundation, repetition, and experimentation. You need your foundation. You need to read. You need to research. You need to get hooked up with a mentor. You need to learn as much as you can before you even think about getting into this or going on an investigation. Then, repetition. Once you do get into a group, once you do start doing this in the field, you got to do things the same way each time so that you can have a repeatable method and hopefully repeatable results. But, of course, Here comes experimentation. That's when you use a new gadget, a new method of doing things. Maybe you start mixing it up. Maybe you bring in a psychic. If it works, mm-hmm. great. That now becomes part of your method, and that's repetition. It's part of the method. If it doesn't work, you tried. You toss it out. You keep doing this, you'll get more consistent, repeatable results. And I think the focus out there needs to be process, not evidence so much. And it's like I said, we're not looking for ghosts. We're looking for truth.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, with that theory as well, I mean, everybody can stumble across evidence, right? But when you create a process for yourself that works, I think that's more valuable than any EVP that you're just going to accidentally get, you know?
I totally agree.
Yeah, and, you know, I've gotten to this point, too, where I've told other of my colleagues in the field, you know, when teams – even new teams, they'll say, oh, we're scientific, you know, we walk around with the mail meter and EMF meters and whatnot. I try to explain to them, that's not really being scientific. Scientific is when you actually try things, you try experiments. When you experiment and you do it in a repetitive manner, don't just do an experiment one time and that's it. You have to do it several times, just like we all learned in school. You have to do it several times in order to see if you're truly getting results or not.
Absolutely. Scientific method. You gotta, you know, this process. And if you take the time to use that process, you know, I'm not saying it'll happen 100% of the time because obviously, you know, we're looking at the things that we are unsure about. But if you just, you know, stick with it, it might happen one in 100 times. But that one time will be amazing, and it'll re-energize you, and it'll make those other 92 failures worth it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, look at Thomas Edison and the light bulb, you know? He had a thousand failures before he got the one true method that worked for him, and look where we are now with light bulbs.
Absolutely. Well, I've been hearing a lot more about Tesla lately, and I would love to forego wires and whatnot for just free electricity.
Right. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, and I've seen I went on an investigation with another team, and they had, oh, my God, it was a huge Tesla coil. And when they fired that thing up, I mean, I had to get back because the energy was so engulfing. But it energized that entire building that we were in. And whether or not it, in theory, whether or not it amped up the activity, I know afterwards that we had lots of unexplainable things happen, you know, as far as paranormal. So whether or not it did it, you know, because there's different theories out there of what can amp up paranormal activity, you know, but it dang sure got crazy in there.
Oof, I can imagine. And it's also one of those things people have to remember that there are so many variables. I mean, just walk outside on any given day. What's the weather like? You know, what's the temperature like? How much traffic is present on your way to work. I mean, every single thing that you're conscious of, there's 100 things that you're not even aware of that are going on behind the scenes. It's like, it's impossible for us to control and even predict any of these variables on a paranormal investigation. Just the fact that it is a paranormal investigation, you can't expect just to go into a dark room with a digital recorder and get results. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. But when people don't get it, they get discouraged. They're like, oh, this isn't real. I'm like, really? All right, well, right now, hey, I'm at work in the middle of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If you went to my house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I wouldn't be there. Does that mean I'm not real? No, it just means that particular variable at the time made it, you know, it wasn't right to catch me.
Right.
Yeah.
I think people need to really stick with it if they're serious. And it's funny, my buddy Chris pointed this out to me just this weekend. He said, you know what? I'm noticing a lot of groups just disappearing and folding up, and I feel like the TV makes it look exciting and easy. They try it. They don't get instant results. They get bored. They move on. You know, we live in a video game culture where it's like, it's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to happen right now. It's got to happen. It's flashy, and it's not flashy. It's boring. And that's fine. I don't miss those people leaving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, and I think right now we're in a generation called Generation ADD, you know, and it's we're all dogs chasing our tails, and as soon as that's boring, it's on to the next game, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, people don't realize, you know, when you're doing a paranormal investigation, there's hours upon hours of nothing, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen. You know, they watch the shows and whatnot, and those are just clips from hours of investigations, you know, thrown all together, so it just seems like everything is happening. It's just one thing after another, but in reality, that's not what happens. There's times when we've gone and spent 10 hours in a building and come home with nothing, you know?
See, I'm glad you said that, and I'm glad that you realize that, because so many people, like, literally, it'll be Wednesday night or Thursday morning, Haunted Collector would have aired, and they go, oh, it seems like you went right to the object, or you walked right into the room and you got an EVP. I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, the show is an hour, which gets boiled down to 44 minutes with commercials. Two cases, all right, 22 minutes per case. We were there for several days, 3-4 days. You think we're going to show every single thing that happened? No, we're going to cut right to the chase. I also had 3 squares, you know, a day. I probably went to the bathroom once or twice. You don't see that, but it happened. And it's funny how, and again, the people, the public who watches, they're not idiots. They're definitely smart. They're watching it. They're putting it under a magnifying glass on a microscope. And they're looking intently because they want to extract as much knowledge from it as they can. But then it's almost like, being that analytical, they almost lose the common sense as they're watching. And it's like, yeah, look, you got to remember, this is edited. It's all together to form a story. You don't want to see our investigations live or whole. Like, because, again, it would be 10 hours of boring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean,
we're no Duck Dynasty, but, you know, hey, who is?
if they would show, like, say, an investigation straight through, no commercials, paranormal would have folded up a long time ago, you know?
Absolutely.
It is, man. It's a boring process, but when things go down, it really is. It's that rush of energy, and you're just like, oh, man, this is what it's about. But you could spend, you know, 16 hours before something like that happens.
Totally. And I don't mind the questions. I don't mind the inferences. I'm just glad they're watching. Because the show, I mean, for me, has really been a blessing. It's amazing working with John. And personally, it gets me access to cases I might not have had access to otherwise. Places all over the country. I mean, I never thought I would be in Montana. I never thought I would be in Tip City, Ohio, or Puerto Rico, or, you know, wherever we've gone. And it's just, I've always been a wanderer, so I love going onto a road and not following the highway, but taking that little road that I don't know where it leads and just discovering, hey, little town, I want to eat food that was made by the locals. I want to find a field with a tree in it that's just, you know, beautiful and amazing. And then, of course, hey, then it's back to reality in that big highway. But being on Haunted Collector has given me access to all that stuff that I might not have seen otherwise. So as long as they're watching and DVRing Duck Dynasty, I'm fine.
Nice. Now, have you run across any of, I like to call them Star Trek fans, right, where you're, say you're at a convention and then somebody comes up and they're like, hey, in episode 23, you pressed, you know, such and such button on the millimeter, but we know that pressing that button doesn't do this. You know, you're like, you're trying to call me out on it. You know what I mean?
No, I know. I know exactly what you mean. And I can relate because I'm a sci-fi Star Trek fan myself. So, you know, I could rock with those people. I'd be like, oh yeah, best of both worlds. At the end, when Riker hits the button, that's actually for the shields and not the phasers. So, no, I'm down with that. And sometimes I'll catch things in the edit that, I mean, oh, let me preempt this by saying that to this date, they've never misrepresented what happens in the scene. So, like, I'm thrilled by that. Because, you know, a lot, probably 90% of the people listening right now, 90% of the people in the paranormal right now have been approached by a producer, and everyone's got a pilot or a show or something, and so often that message, that purity is lost.
Right,
for
ratings, right.
Or for, hey, we want, oh, do you mind doing this? Do you mind saying that? And countless people I know who've gone on those clip shows, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I said this, but they made it sound like I meant this. They've never done that on Haunted Collector. I can honestly say that. They've edited the hell out of scenes. It's like, hey, we were there for 40 minutes. We were getting great evidence, but they didn't show, which is a little frustrating. But when I'm hitting a button, when I'm doing something, for the most part, it's accurate. There are things I can say that the camera doesn't get, and they might have to get our reaction again, because the cameraman's looking over maybe at Chris, and he's looking at a wall. Something happens to me, and I'm like, oh, and they didn't get it. So I'm like, oh, can you say that again? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll say it again. I'm like, hey, Chris, come over here. You got to check this out. So it's all stuff that really happens. And anytime we use a gadget or use a device, I mean, so much stuff that's happened this season has gotten cut. And I've got people who have given me new devices to test out, and it's not making the edits because nothing happened. But
right.
that's the schism between editors and researchers. Hey, I'm in the field using it. They just chose not to show it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Now,
I went off on a tangent on that answer, but I guess to answer the question, yes, I do encounter a lot of those Star Trek rules lawyer type people, and I'm one of them, so I totally understand.
That's awesome.
Oh yeah, and so what in your experiences, whether it was on the show or not, what was one of the times where something just crazy happened that you just, to this day, or when it happened, you're just scratching your head going, now, how in the heck did this happen, you know?
I think there's been several cases this season. The things that stick out to me are not so much the you know, holy crap moments, but there are things that happen. I think it was the premiere. It was the horse farm in Montgomery, New York. And the woman's horses were being affected, and she had a lot of animals. We did, John and I did an EVP session, and we were using the obelisk. Okay, words come through. In the edit on the show, you just see attic, and we get up and we go into the attic. But for a good 40 minutes before that, it's spitting out all this other information. Some of it, you know, fortune cookie logic, where, you know, we're trying to make it fit, we're trying to make sense, and it's not really going anywhere. But then it starts mentioning names, and it starts mentioning situations, and it turned out that the woman's father was coming through. Didn't make the edit.
Wow.
You know, we talked about it after. We connected, and it was a very emotional thing, and it was one of those things. There was a point in time where there was a lot of tapping coming from all over the house, and it seemed to be responding to us, like, hey, if you're here, tap twice, and then you hear the next one, tap, tap. So, all right, you get up, and we go to where the noise was coming from, and I felt like we were being led around, and when we would get to certain spots, the obelisk would start spitting out more information, and John, at one point, he flipped because it's inside his head. It all clicked. He's like, oh, my God, this is who we're talking to. And John Zappis, for his vast knowledge, his encyclopedic brain, and all the things he's been through and the things he's done, In his head, he knows what he's talking about. But
yeah.
I'm like, John, what? John, what? And literally, just silence. I'm like, John, are you going to tell me? I'm standing there. You know, we're in the dark. He's holding the obelisk. This look on his face, it's like he saw Atlantis rise. And I'm thinking, like, you want to share? And there's a lot of moments like that where just things happen. And the producers come talk to us after, and they're like, what happened? Oh, my God, what was that? And there's just no way for us to really equate it to them, because at the beginning of every season, for the most part, we get a lot of new crew members on board, and these cats are TV people. They film, they edit, they do whatever they do. But by the end of their stint with us, they're full-on believers. They start out skeptical, or, oh, hey, it's just a job, it's just a show. They've worked on other shows, so they're really jaded. You work with the old man, and stuff happens. So those moments, that's... So
nice.
A lot of them do make it to the air, some of them don't, and... So if I had, like, hours to talk about it, I could just go on endlessly.
Yeah, and I'm sure during the filming process, some of these people that have never been around the paranormal, I'm sure they've gotten their share of oh shit moments.
The crew, I got to say, pretty much for all three seasons, we've had crew members affected, and not negatively, but just
you know,
in a way that makes itself known to them, and they struggle with it. Because they think they're just making a TV show, and I have to laugh because I'm thinking, I'm like, you got John Zaffis. What did you think was going to happen?
Right.
You know, you didn't. We're not actors. This is not like we're not filming the next Saw movie. This is real. What did you expect to see? And when you see it, just make sure the cameras are connected, because that's what we're trying to get.
Nice.
Jason talked about that too when I interviewed Jason, one of your colleagues on the show, and yeah, he talked about that as well.
Me and Jay, he's been a great addition to the team when he came on last season. He's a guy that, I mean, I was mentioning process before, and that cat has his process down. You know, he and I think a lot alike, to where even though on the show he's kind of a rookie and in the paranormal he's only been doing this for a few years, but the kid knows what he's doing, and there was very little for me to say, hey, maybe you should try this, or hey, you're doing that wrong. Our thought processes were the same. We'd hear a noise. We'd both look at each other, and instead of jumping or running or doing something crazy or erratic, we'd be like, we heard something. Let's go find out where that came from. And
nice.
Great guy to work with.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're almost down to the end of the show, and I'm so glad that you did get on for a little while so we could chat. And, of course, I'll get to chat with you again, so because you'll be on the show with me Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we'll get to talk some more, and we'll get to talk on some other things, and talk about some more of your stories from the show.
That'd be great.
This your opportunity to plug anything that's coming on, and I believe you're in mid season right now on Haunted Collector, if I'm not mistaken.
We are. Sci-Fi is doing something a little weird, like they do sometimes, and they're breaking our season up into two halves. So I would love it if everybody really tunes in and watches us this Wednesday, because that will be the last Haunted Collector until June.
Oh, wow.
So you're going to have to wait a little while, a few weeks, for the rest of season three. So everybody, please tune in Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Sci-Fi channel. You can catch up with me on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Brian J. Cano. And please go to my side project, my main project, www.scaredonline.com. And you can watch our documentaries, see what our team has been up to. And I'm going to be appearing at the Parahistory Fest in Lake George, New York, at the end of April. as well as Las Vegas Paracon in August and Parafest at the Sands in Bethlehem in September with some very, very cool guests.
Sweet. Well, thank you, Brian, for coming on, and I look forward to talking to you again on Tuesday.
Sounds good, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no
problem. All right. Have a good night.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye.
That was Brian Kano from Haunted Collector. That's a cool dude, man.
Yeah, he's cool, man. I like hearing what he brings to the table, because it's like especially when he's talking about process, because I mean that in this field is key. I mean, you can't go on investigations and change stuff every time you go, you know.
Well, and with him, you know, he's got the documentary series where him and his team are actually trying to show paranormal teams, you know, some of the ways you could go about your investigations. And I think that is key. That's someone that, yes, is on TV, but they're still trying to contribute to the paranormal field off TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, and very knowledgeable guy. And I can't wait to have more time with him on Tuesday and pick his brain some more.
Nice. Now between now and Tuesday, you have a lot to think about, and your questions on Tuesday will be better, you know?
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. So everybody out there, we're actually in the archives right now. So tune in. Tuesday, Terrify Radio, 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern, and our guest is Brian Kano, Haunted Collector, and we'll talk with him some more. And tune in tomorrow for Into the Darkness Radio with Brittany Johnson and Matt Masaryk. And that is it. We're going to call it a night, and everybody have a great night as I'm searching for something to play to get us out of here, because Jeff normally does all that for me, so I'm having to do two things at once. You know, you gotta love live radio. Let's see. What am I in the mood for? Well, we'll play something Jeff would play. Here we go. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
tell you how to use it.
You're listening to the Unknown Radio Network at www.blogtalkradio.com.